Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, Malaysia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening to us from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, it's uploaded to iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM, TuneIn, and the Google Play Music app. So subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you're comfortable listening or currently listening right now. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, where the guests and the listeners come together in one communal place and talk transformation. And it's an amazing place to hang out. So my guest today, I'm super, super pumped. I'm overwhelmed after reading through the website and reading through the emails and all the discussions that we've had. I am super freaking pumped to welcome Amy Smith to the show. What is happening?
Yeah, we're going to have so much fun. I'm so excited to be here.
And that is how we open the show. She's like, woo, love it. Love yes. That. Setting the stage. Love it. So, yeah, welcome to Life Transformation Radio, and I cannot wait to introduce you to the audience and have them connect with you because you are doing amazing, amazing things in the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to connect with them and have a deep conversation. As I like to say, I like to talk about shit that matters. I like to jump
Absolutely.
In and talk about stuff of merit. So I'm thrilled.
Right? Yeah, you know, when I wrote my ebook, I have an ebook literally called the No BS, No Fluff Guide. I was like, man, I'm so sick of like a webinar that's like 45 minutes long and you get 5 minutes of content and then you're forced into this, oh, if you want to know more type thing. I was like, screw that, man. I'm just giving them the whole everything, the kitchen sink. I'm giving them everything. And it seems to be working. It's like the No BS, No Fluff Guide. Like, this is literally what you need to know. And I talk
that's
about the
right.
things that you need to know. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely.
So reading through your website, I always like to name episodes based on the guest's badassery, if you will. And you have an ebook or a workbook, Stand Up for Yourself Without Being a Dick, which I thought was incredible. Incredible. How did you come up with that name?
So I work with a lot of people who identify either as extreme perfectionists or as extreme people pleasers or just being very heavily invested in the opinions of other people. And as I've been doing this for a minute for the last decade, and as I would talk to people, I found that there were two major fallacies that people felt very strongly about when it came to establishing boundaries, saying no, telling your in-laws what you think, having hard conversations with clients, whatever it might be. People equated standing up for themselves or speaking up for themselves equals malice. I'm being a bitch, or I'm being a dick, or I'm an awful
right.
human. Or they associated it with purposely inflicting pain. So a huge piece of my work is saying, hey, we can actually untangle those things. You can be completely assertive and extremely demonstrative about what you do and don't want. And you can do all of that with the utmost grace and kindness.
Love it. Yeah, I know. So I didn't even know I was going to tell you this, but my mom tried everything to break up my wife and I when we were first married.
Oh, wow.
And I had to stand up to her at some point because I was losing my marriage, you know. And my mom, actually, she says, real quick before we get into it, real quick, she says, hey, I got you a wedding gift. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's do this. What is it? It's a trip to Orlando and Daytona. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's like 4 days, 5 days or whatever. I'm like, that's awesome. And so she's like, yeah, just, you know, come to the house. And I'm living out of state. She's from Michigan, or I'm from Michigan. Go to the house. See a suitcase. I'm like, what's that? She goes, well, I mean, I'm coming with you.
Whoa.
Like, what? So my mom was, my mom came with us. Anyway.
Wow. But you know what, Sean? I love that you bring that up, because that is what I'm talking about. It's the adult children that you want to have them move out of the house. It's are your parents who don't like your life choices or think that you need to subscribe to a different religion or politics, you know, than they, as they do, or whatever it might be. It, even as simple as somebody asking something from you outside of a supermarket, or even telling the barber, the hairstylist, what you really need from your haircut. We are conditioned all the time to not rock the boat. And oh my God, is it hard with family? I always thought it would be such a funny tagline for life coaching to be like, life coaching, because who doesn't have mom issues?
Holy crap. That's awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, that just, wow. Who doesn't have mom issues? Yeah, right? Holy crap. All right, awesome. So yeah, this episode is titled Stand Up for Yourself Without Being a Dick with Amy Smith. Amy E. Smith is a certified confidence coach, masterful speaker, and personal empowerment expert. Founder of thejoyjunkie.com, Amy uses her roles as coach, writer, podcaster, and speaker to move individuals to a place of radical personal empowerment and self-love. With acute focus on helping people find their voice, she is highly sought after for her uncommon style of irreverence, wisdom, and humor, and has been featured expert on Fox 5 San Diego and YourTango.com. In the show notes right here, there's links for her free e-workbook, Facebook community, and Instagram. Like, you got to seek this lady out. She is doing some amazing, amazing, incredible things, and her website is super freaking hilarious. You scroll to the bottom and it literally says, don't steal my shit because karma will get you. I was like, this is gonna be an awesome show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like, there's a way to be professional and there's a way to like throw your badassery into the professionalism, you know what I mean? Like, put your own like kind of spin and swizzle on it, and that's what you've done, and I love it, love it, love it. So
thanks.
You're doing it well.
If I'm going to be in a field that is all about authenticity, about truly being who you are, then I cannot go parading around being some sort of stoic version of what I, you know, a professional life coach or, you know, whatever. I have all the credentials. I've jumped through all of the proverbial hoops and the literal hoops. And, you know, I was interested in catering to a community that loved personal growth, that wanted to be better humans, that wanted to learn how to contend with fear or speak up for themselves. But they also like to throw back a whiskey, and they might not watch their language all the time. And maybe they love red lipstick too. Like, we're incredibly diverse as humans. So I figure, you know, the more authentic I can be, the more I garner that from my audience. And it just works out well.
That's the only way I roll. Like, you have to be authentic, real, genuine, transparent, and raw. You have to. You know, there was I don't know if you know who Ryan Mickler is. He is at the Order of Man podcast and like 50,000-60,000 person Facebook group. And him and I were speaking recently at an event that Ever Gonzalez put on called the Outliers Podcast Festival in St. George, Utah. And the first thing he says, he's like, there's a couple of things that you need to know about the industry that we're in. If you don't piss people off, you're not doing a very good job.
That's right.
Like, all right, here we are. You know, like, if you don't ruffle feathers, you don't rock a boat. If you don't, I mean, not like not like malfeasance, right? But like,
right.
If you don't just make people mad by your stature, by what you feel and believe, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have enough haters, like, I guess you're not reaching enough people. You know,
yeah.
I had a guy troll the show. I got super popular super fast. I had a guy troll the show and like would call into the show and like talk gay and stuff. It was weird. And I finally just had to block him. It was super weird. He's like, what are you doing after the show? I'm like, oh my God, here we go. So yeah, have an addiction expert on the show talking about addiction and he calls in. Yeah. So if you don't have enough haters, you know, calling into your show or like trolling your Facebooks or anything, and then apparently you're not doing anything right. So
that's right.
Good times. So let's get into this. Let's dive in.
Okay.
Tell me, what is your deep why for what you do?
The big why. You know, I would love to say something incredibly altruistic and philanthropic, but to be honest with you, it's very self-serving. It is that I am fulfilled and I am rewarded by doing this work. And I spent many years as a makeup artist and was traveling and training and kind of had the big girl job, all of that stuff. And I loved being of impact and teaching and sharing a message. And I've always really enjoyed that sphere. However, as I got older and as my interests changed, I knew that I wanted to be sharing a different message. But I don't at all think that this is the end. I could see myself get extremely passionate about different political issues, you know, things like that. So for me, what it all comes down to is a life lived passionately and on fire. I'm sure you're familiar with the top 5 regrets of the dying by Bronnie Ware.
Oh yeah.
And
yep.
You know, nobody says, oh my God, I wish I would have worked a lot harder, or I am so glad I did what my mom wanted me to do. Right? No.
Right.
The number one regret is I wish I would have lived a life in accordance to what I wanted to do instead of what others expected of me. So, you know, for me, it is about continuing to follow passions over and over again. And I think that it can also create a huge ripple effect, no matter what zone of influence you are in, whether it's in a personal development space or leadership space or physical fitness or whatever it is. If you are passionate about it, I feel like that is what gives you fulfillment. And I'm on board for that.
Right?
That's what I want. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell me tell me what the transformational moment is that put you directly on the path to what you're doing right now. You got the podcast, you got the e-workbooks, you got the coaching and mentoring and like the speaking and that all that is amazing. I like to start at the beginning of things because a lot of times there's a tragedy that happens or something takes place, you know, like the Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started because her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And now it's, you know, global movement. I had a guest on the show a couple months ago where her child was abducted. Because her child was abducted, she started a support group locally. And then come to find out, more people reached out to her and said, hey, I'm in another state, but my child was abducted. And then more and more and more. Now, 3 years later, she has a podcast. She has multiple books. She's a traveling speaker. And she has a community of people surrounding her and that she's helping move through somebody who just took their child.
Wow.
That wouldn't have happened if her child wasn't abducted. You know what I mean? So we go through these transformational moments that really steer our life into this certain funnel, this certain, you know, event that's taking place right now. The events 5 years ago put you with me on this show.
Right.
So what would be your transformational moment that set your life on the path to what you're doing now?
Oh, wow. Well, There are two very pivotal stories. One happened, gosh, good 10, 12 years ago. And that is really what got me involved in personal development. However, I really think the niche of finding your voice and actually using it, saying no, boundaries, speaking up for yourself, how that came about is far more of a riveting story. So I'd love to share that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I got involved in self-help and personal development probably in the mid-2000s. And then in 07, my father passed away. And it was a really, really actually gorgeous experience. I have a lot of gratitude about his passing. And at the time, I was still working as a makeup artist as well. And I hadn't fully branched off into doing my own thing yet. And so at the time, I was like, well, you know, I'm definitely doing his makeup for his viewing. So I proceeded to do mortuary makeup on my father's deceased body for his viewing. And not only that, I get up and, deliver the eulogy and the speech and to a group of hundreds of people. My father was an incredible man and had tons of influence and impact in his life. And so, you know, here I am having this really rough day, right? Like,
yeah.
Some heavy shit that day, right? Now, a slight precursor to this for context is I grew up in a very, very conservative, born-again Christian family that upon reflection now, I've unpacked this a lot with my own coach but and therapy, that there were quite a few things that were almost cult-like and still kind of grappling with that. But my mom, you know, was now left without a spouse. And, you know, both of my brothers had, I have two younger brothers and both of them have done jail time, didn't go to college, they were very late bloomers. Let's just say that. And then on the flip side, I started working when I was 14. I got married when I was 20. I put myself through college by having an amazing tuition reimbursement program. Like I had really my path. I was like, fine, I'm going to pave the way, my own path, how I want to live my life. So up until the time of my father's passing, what I had done a lot was I had really curbed how I presented myself to my mom, you know, to my parents both, and what I would permit my husband. So I would always say, please don't talk about John Stewart, please don't talk about South Park, don't talk about gay rights, don't talk about, you know, all of the things that I believed in now that were in stark opposition to how I was raised. So back to the day of the service, I get back to my mom's house and she tells me, she thinks that it's the perfect opportunity to say, well, it just feels like we failed as parents. And I was like, what? And she was like, because I'm thinking, are you shitting me? I just did my father's makeup for his funeral service really well, I might add, and spoke at his service and was poised and eloquent and shook all the hands and let the people pray with me. And I was just floored at the idea that she would essentially say, you know, you are a disappointment to us. And it had nothing to do with the life I had created for myself or how resourceful I had been, but rather that I was not following her specific dogma and her specific religion. And for that, I was a failure and a disappointment. And at that time, I kind of looked at her and just said, wow, I really don't think that's something that's appropriate to say to children. So I kind of was trying to educate her that that's a damaging thing to say to a child. And that really was the impetus of, all right, if it's going to come down to I either choose you or I choose me, then I choose me. Like, I'm done. I'm done with this facade. Yeah. I'm done pretending that I am something that I am not. And I don't need you to approve of me because I approve of me. And that really jarred everything in the trajectory of what I do now and helping people figure out what that really looks like, because there's two pieces. And the internal piece is believing in yourself enough, believing that you are valuable enough to give voice to your wants, right, opinions, and needs. And then the other piece is your actual communication skills. Like, how do you actually say, actually, you know, I've told my mom many times, like, please don't invite me to that event. I actually find that very offensive. And, you know, very poised and controlled and with, right, grace and kindness. But, you know, I went through a phase after that where I was extremely adversarial and very combative, and where I just wanted to fight, and I wanted to talk about astrology, and I wanted to talk about the Buddhas in my home. And I, you know, I was really looking to pick a fight with her. And so the evolution of that, finding the voice paired with grace and kindness, delivering your information from a place of, I mean, it truly, it can be anything, but grace and kindness are kind of the words that I embody all the time, because I think I can be assertive. I can say exactly what I need to say, and I can do it with grace. I can do it with kindness. And, mm-hmm, and that is now what I really help people do. And I love it.
I was just going to ask that. So what is it that you specialize in, right? Like, what is it that you do? I mean, it says that you're a certified conference coach, speaker. Like, I get that. But really, like, what is your zone of genius? What is it that you do?
Yeah. I just use a bunch of magic fairy dust, Sean. What do you think?
I got the idea fairy in a jar.
Right, right. So I do a lot of group programs. And
okay.
I have a 12-step program. It sounds, yeah. Anyway,
that's funny.
It is a 12-week, it spans over 12 weeks. And right. I teach that program, that format, in with one-on-one, like with individual clients. But a large majority of the time, I take a group through it. And sometimes I will do retreats and things like that. But the idea behind the entire body of that work is to start unpacking all of the shit and the clutter that have you at your current set of affairs. So it's your current belief system, your current relationship to fear, your beliefs about yourself. And we kind of dismantle all of that. And then we work on who do you want to become, working on identity work or values work. And then it segues into a place of how do we take all of that and look at how does this relate to the external world? How does this relate to how I speak up for myself with my boss, with my colleagues, with my children, with my parents? And then we look at how to have tough conversations, how to have boundaries, how to say no. You know, a lot of these things that are really challenging for a lot of people. And so I think my zone of genius is really around knowing an eloquent way to say what you need to say, even if it is in stark opposition to what somebody else wants to hear. So I will have clients, or a lot of times my colleagues will be like, oh my gosh, I need to tell my agent this. How can I say this? Or I need to tell my husband this. How do I say it? And I'm like, well, and I have a whole process for those sorts of conversations. Mm-hmm. But that's
I
love.
So funny.
It's empowering.
Yeah. That's so funny, because sometimes we really want to say what's on our mind, but we have the wherewithal, right? To be like, I probably shouldn't say that. Like, my emotional intelligence beacon is going off and I'm probably going to say something I might regret, or if I don't regret it, like, it's super mean. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to say this one thing. And I think that's where, like, a lot of relationships in general, not just marriages or, boyfriend, girlfriend type stuff, but like coworkers or roommates, like, oh man, that's a whole nother market. I don't know if you're tapping the roommate market, but like, wow, like college roommates or even like adult roommates, whatever. I mean, they go through all kinds of, you're leaving your crap on the floor. And it's just like huge fights and everything. I think that what you do is very powerful in the sense that you take a step back and really, like, you need to say something, but let's really find a constructive way, not a destructive way. Find an active, constructive way to really tell someone how you feel and make them a part of the conversation, not just, hey, this is this, and they feel like they're being attacked.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of it has to do with your paraverbal skills and the inflection and tone of your voice, the cadence. A lot of it has to do with how you broach the conversation altogether. You know, for instance, if your wife's like, Sean, we need to talk. Or if she says, hey, babe, I'd really love to run something by you. Like, which one is far more disarming, right?
So my wife would be like, hey, babe, when you get home, we really need to talk. And I'm like, about what? She goes, well, I'll just tell you when you get home. I'm like, no, because I won't come home. You need to tell me now. You know, like, like, I don't like. And then what it is, so what do you want for dinner? Like, oh, my God, you got me so worked up. You know, like, so now I'm like, all right, whatever, we'll talk. Like, it's probably nothing. It's probably something. I don't know. I just learned to not put weight into it, because I tell her, like, look, if you want to ask me something, just ask me, text me, call me, whatever. But don't say, babe, we really need to talk, because I'm all like, guard up, walls up. Okay, let me brace for impact, you know, and then it's nothing. And then I feel like let down. I was like,
That's right. That's right. And that is not uncommon, because so I just wrapped a class called Relationship RX that was specifically about communication in intimate partnerships, romantic partnerships. And this is one of the things we talk about, is the stories that we create, that we have a certain set of facts, an incident that happens. And then because our brain wants to wrap up the story in a nice tidy bow, we create conclusions. We create conclusions around intent, like what you think your wife's intent was, assumption of intent, all sorts of things like that, that then we create this whole story, and then we start gathering evidence to support it. Like, you start going, did she look at me weird? Was she just a little snippy with me? You know, and then you start reading into stuff where it may not have ever even existed. So it can be really, really complicated. But a lot of times, if you can just start to express what's really happening for you and say it in a kind way, I mean, I'm distilling down, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks of, you know, processes that I take people through.
Right.
But a lot of it is just saying what you really mean and saying it kindly.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing that really, like, say it kindly.
Yeah.
Because you said before, like, your pitch and inflection and everything. And I used to, oh, man, I used to be so direct. Like, I wasn't yelling, but, like, I was yelling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was so bad. I knew what I wanted to say, and I'm just a super direct person. Like, hey, look, this is the deal, and this is, and they're like, geez, you're gonna yell. I'm like, I'm not yelling. Like, I'm super calm. I'm actually having a great day. You know? They're like, well, you should tell your face about it. So, yeah, I got that a lot. Like, you should tell your face about it, you know? But I learned that, and even through speaking, like, I learned the pitch and inflection and not to carry your voice so much, and then, you know, the pauses. And so I always tell people that I'm mentoring and speaking, like, you're always on display, and you're always speaking, and you're always a speaker. So when you're with your family, you should be the same way you are on stage with your family. With your family, you're on stage, and you're, like, you're all just one person. That way you're just always the same way. And I try that with my wife a couple of times, and I'm like, honey, really need you to listen. She's like, shut up. So with her, it doesn't work. semi-emotional. She wants me to be direct. She doesn't care about anything else. She's like, just tell me what I need to know. Like, how do I fix it? What am I going to do? Like, tell me what I need to know. She's like, but other people aren't. So what do you do with people who want the pampering, who want the, but I know we're good friends. Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with creating a relationship where you are both allowed to give voice to what's happening. And it's much easier if one person takes the lead in that regard. But for example, my best friend and I are extremely different. And she sounds a lot more like your wife, like very, you know, cut to the chase, straight shooter. Her emails are short, curt. And I'm like, I'm going to need an emoji, or I'm going to need an XOXO. Like, I'm going to need a little something because that sounded way harsh. I'm going to need an emoji.
Awesome.
But she's like, I don't have time for that. You know, let's go. And I'm like, you're going to make time because that makes me feel loved and you want your needs met. So this is how we're going to operate. So we had tons of discussions about that, but we started off kind of saying like, okay, if I say something like this, what do you hear? And we started conversing about communication. But I'll tell you, we had a really interesting situation happen that I think a lot of people can relate to. So she was going through a rough situation, and she has gone through a lot in her life. So when she was kind of confiding in me, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be this awesome bestie. And I'm like, listen to me. You are so strong. You are one of the strongest people I've ever known. You have gotten through worse. You are going to get through this too. I know it's hard, but you are going to get through this, right? And I'm thinking, hell yeah, Amy, you're being a really good friend right now. So then she tells me very calmly, okay, so there's two key elements here. It is how she delivered the information and how I received it. So she delivered it and said, hey, I would never expect you to know this, but it would mean a lot to me if you specifically didn't say anything around strengths, because that was always something that I felt like I had to be the strong one in my marriage, the strong one in my family, never can break down, never can have a rough time, you know? And she said, and I also, it's hard for me to be reminded of all of the things that I've gone through. Here's what I would love for you to say. You are going to get through this. And just eliminate anything around. She's like, I don't want to remember how shitty other things were that I got through. I don't want to remember that. I don't want to think that this is even close to the how severe that was. So I was like, oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Good to know. And it ended there. But she could have easily started to build up a ton of resentment. Like, why does Amy always say that, you know? And start getting bitey or snicky or like, you know, kind of. Rah. And I could have been like, what the hell, right? Because it's all not being talked about. But instead, I went, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. You got it. No problem. Because the way she delivered it to me was extremely palatable. And that's exactly what I do with my husband. He's been like, tell me the exact words. I'm like, these are the exact words to say. And most of the time we don't do that, especially with our partners. They have a rough day.
Right.
We go, oh, I know what you need. And we just go, oh, honey, you need to do this. You need to tell your boss this. Or you need to tell blah, 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 blah. Or you just need to go back to this. And we prescribe instead of going, hey, how can I be amazing for you? How can I support you the best right now? And actually ask them, whether it's in a friendship or an intimate partnership. That, I mean, think about how that would go over at work if your boss was like, how can I really be an amazing boss for you?
Yep.
You're like, wait, what? We can do the same thing with our siblings and friends, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So for the listeners listening, if anything resonated with you, get a hold of Amy in the show notes. There are a ton of links. She's on Instagram. Go to thejoyjunkie.com, thejoyjunkie.com. Hook up with her. Connect with her. She is laying down some amazing amazing content. And if you're listening and anything resonates with you, you want to talk to her, the number is 657-383-1109. That is to call in to the show as like a listener calling in. Talk to us. Let us know. 657-383-1109. You can ask Amy any questions. So I'm in my resilience training that I deliver. There's a class. It's one of the last skills. There's 11 skill sets that hint into the mental, physical, social, and spiritual domains of resilience. One of those classes called Good Listening and Active Constructive Responding. Do you know, have you ever seen the video of It's Not About the Nail?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's the first video that I play in there, and you should see the married couples turn to each other and go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And the Jews are like, what? Like, it is so funny. And then I played that, and I was like, oh, I'm still going to show my wife because, like, I'm a great listener, whatever. She goes, oh, yeah, that's you. I'm like, yeah, the one who's like, just wants you to listen. She goes, oh, no, you're still the dude. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't. No.
Yeah.
Just, no. Seriously. You always try to fix it. You always do. I'm like, no, I do not. And the very next time she's like, babe, I got a problem. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Like, what do you need me to do? She goes, listen. I'm like, oh, all right.
And you're like, besides, you're listen, listening. What else can I do? Yeah. Oh,
I was
my God.
Like, ready.
Okay. Here's what was like, ready. So fascinating about that is so in this recent course that I taught, I had. Overwhelmingly, I think there are shifts, great, great shifts that are happening in as it relates to gender, because I will tell you, it is not like, oh, all the men have the sex drive. Not at all. Mm. Or, you know, all the men are extremely stoic and don't want to express emotions. I actually see a lot of stuff that is kind of against what we think of as stereotypical male and female roles, which I think is great. And it also has a lot of us buying into some real serious bullshit about what's acceptable as a man or acceptable as a woman. Mm. And it's kind of like, come on now. No. And I will tell you too, Sean, most people want to fix it, especially if it's somebody who we love. We're not taught to be comfortable with emotion. So if your partner is breaking down or they're stressed or they're hurting, we go, this is uncomfortable. Let's just make it stop. So I think a majority of us want to do that. And it's usually the antithesis of what that person needs. So if you can just stay with them a little bit longer and ask, how can I be amazing? Or acknowledge what the emotion is they're feeling. Like, damn, babe, you seem really stressed. Or that sounds really hard. Or, gosh, I would be so pissed too. Or something that acknowledges their emotion. And then how can I be amazing for you? Something like that. And you don't have to fix it.
Right, yeah. You know, I told my wife the other day, I could tell she's mad. And I just said, no, she's mad. And as I, you know, a couple of years ago, even like 5 years ago, I was like not emotionally intelligent at all. Like my EQ was terrible. Like, oh, you're hurting? Get over it. You know, like everyone's got problems. You know what I mean? But I'm very in tune now, you know, since with resilience and everything that I do, I'm very, very in tune with emotional intelligence. And I've learned to see things. And she's sitting on the couch and I'm like, got to figure out what to say. Maybe I don't even need to say anything. Maybe I just need to sit next to her. You know what I mean? So I walk over and she just looks at me and I looked at her and I just went, it's going to be okay. Oh yeah. And she starts smiling and she's like, you're an idiot. I'm like, I got you to smile though. It's like, yeah. So then I sat next to her and she's like, I'm just so mad. I'm like, I know you are. She goes, but how do you know? I'm like, I can just tell. And it's just like that simple conversation, like acknowledging that emotion that you feel, like this is what I interpret your feelings and what I interpret your, you know, body language and everything, you know? And, and I gave her a kiss and I walked away and it was fine. And I was like, I didn't have to do anything.
That's right.
It was awesome. I didn't get in trouble. You know, like I didn't say anything stupid. It was great.
Empathy for the win. Well, you know,
empathy.
So, Are you familiar with John Gottman at all?
Not really. By not really, I mean, no.
Okay, cool. Well, so he has a whole term, really, for what you did, which is called a repair bid. It's basically some sort of gesture, comment. It can even be like sticking your tongue out or a silly little, you know, phrase that you say that's basically like, hey, babe, I don't want this to take us out, right? And right. What she did is a perfect example of what Gottman calls turning toward as opposed to turning away or turning against. So she, instead of being like, well, screw you, I don't want to talk about it, or really, really, you really want to talk about it right now, or, you know, just shut you out altogether, turn away. She right. turned towards you by saying, I'm still mad, but I'm smiling right. and I appreciate the effort you're making, but I'm not quite there yet. You can still turn toward right. your partner, even if you're not ready to have a full blown conversation or accept an apology or anything like that. And we know that those sorts of turning toward one another, when another partner is doing a repair attempt or bidding for connection from you, can make or break a relationship. I mean, it's huge. Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Yeah. I walked away feeling really great. You mm-hmm. know, one, because I didn't get yelled at for anything, but I think I felt great that I didn't need to do anything. Like I had made myself available, and that's not really what she needed. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, well, I'm here. And she acknowledged that, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, yep. Okay, cool. I got this. Like she knew I was there for her, whatever she was feeling, whatever made her mad that day, whatever was, you know, yeah. which is great. So, yeah. So I love that. Cool. And, I'm curious, what are some resources that you have, or that somebody could, like you talked about the books and some other things, you know, just now, what are some of the resources that you have, or what are some of the resources that people can get? Like, one resource that we use is the love language. So Gary Chapman has a book called The Love Languages, The Five Love Languages. Yep. And I had no idea. So I want to go to sleep. Leave me alone.
Yep.
She wants to go to sleep, lay on top of me, lay all over me and hug me and hold me. And I'm like, get away from me. I want to go to sleep. Leave me alone. Yep. So I have to be reminded, like, okay, that's her love language. Like, she wants to be held and like all that other stuff. You know what I mean? But she also knows that my love language is affirmation. So as long as she tells me that I'm amazing, like not. And sometimes we have this weird relationship where you start to do things like a smart ass. You know, she's like, honey, you're so great. I'm like, shut up. Like. You know, and we laugh and we, you know, come together and, but yeah, it's just when you can, you know, do that, right? I mean, I think you're on the right path. But anyway, I was trying to get to what are some resources that you have, and what are some resources that people can grab pretty quickly to start to master what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, I would definitely grab the free workbook. And what's cool about that workbook is that it's designed to be very actionable. So what you'll find is you can consume it in like an audio medium. So for people who tend to like podcasts, they tend to like the audio version. So you'll get that for free as well. Or you can actually print out the workbook and be a little more tactile. Depends on how you learn the best. But basically, there are 9 challenges in there that are designed to help catapult your ability to speak up for yourself, really kind of bolstering your confidence and your self-love. So there's lots of stuff around saying no or having a boundary conversation, even how you speak to yourself. So that paired with my podcast that I do every single week, they always drop on Mondays. And that's just mm-hmm. called The Joy Junkie Show. You can find us pretty much anywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, all of those. And those two are free resources where you could start to untangle some of the stuff that I've been talking about a little bit. And I've done episodes on all things intimate partnerships, conversations with family members, all sorts of different. I mean, we have over 250 episodes. So There is usually something that you can find over there. And then I have plenty of ways to take your money if you want to do that too.
I love that. I can take your money too. I have some stuff.
I can also take your money and give you tons of amazing content in return. But you'll see all of that stuff over on my website over at thejoyjunkie.com. I do have a retreat coming up, and my big course that I teach twice a year is coming up. But I really like people to get some substance. Like you were talking about those webinars of 45 minutes and one tip. It's like, no, give me some meat so I can create some change in my life. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So I want to switch gears a little bit and go a little bit deeper into your personal professional life by asking about influencers. So what kind of influencers do you follow? Are you a Gary Vee gal? Are you more of a Grant Cardone, Real and Raw? You know what I mean? Or do you keep it simple like Dale Carnegie, or like who are your influencers that you follow?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Well, it depends. I'm a huge fan of John Gottman's work, and he's kind of a huge pioneer in the world of romantic partnerships, but has really done quite a bit for just relationships in general. So I follow him quite a bit. And there's a handful of other people who have been really pivotal for me throughout my career, because I've been doing this, you know, for a while now. So it just depends, you know, if I'm in a relationship phase or a money phase or what phase am I in? So I really love a gal out of Australia. Her name is Denise Duffield Thomas. I follow her for a lot of abundance mindset. Also, Jen Sincero is a genius in regards to that as well. And when I was first getting into coaching, I followed a gal by the name of Gina Gabellini, who taught me a lot about manifestation and pairing that with systems and organizing your business. And that was really paramount for me in the very beginning. And Tara Gentile for all things business. This person. Yeah. I do love Gary Chapman. I like Harval Hendricks also. I don't tend to go the religious route, and Chapman sometimes does. So I just have to, temper myself a bit. But there's a handful for you.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I'm always interested in who the influencers are being influenced by.
Yeah.
You know, I find it fascinating, because I was like, I wouldn't have thought that, like someone who's like real mild tempered, they're like, oh, I love Grant Cardone. I'm like, how? Like, I didn't think you liked that type of stuff. Like Grant goes, and so does Gary, but you never know. People pick up, the content that they pick up, and I'm just always fascinated by who they follow. So
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what does the rest of 2018 look like for you? We're halfway through, and I'm just trying to half make a joke here. The holidays are fast approaching. Family comes together. So I'm sure you're super busy right around the holidays.
Yes. That's funny. I always do a podcast episode every single year around how to not lose your shit with your family during the holidays. So that one's awesome. On repeat every year. And I may end up even doing a live event at the end of the year, specifically around that. I'm not sure yet. I will be doing my Deep Down and Dirty program that will happen in July. And I have a retreat coming up in October. And then it's all cyclical. Then it starts kind of all over again. So I kind of vacillate between, some of my programs that I offer and retreats and stuff. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, working on a beast of a book proposal. So I'm hoping that propels into 2019. So we'll see what happens there.
Very cool. Very cool. So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, your products, movies, whatever you want people to know about you. This is your moment to shamelessly plug your brilliance. Go.
Oh, wow. I felt like I already did that. That's awesome. I'll tell you more. Oh, my gosh. So truly what means the most to me is having people that I get to connect with. And for me, that is my email list, right? Those are the people who are like, hey, Amy, I want to hear from you. And if you haven't had the chance to grab the ebook, which I doubt you have, please go grab that. And please come hang out on the podcast. That is something that we really, really love doing every single week. And we take listener suggestions for show topics. My husband does a Would You Rather segment every single Monday, and then we talk it over in the private Facebook group. Just a word of warning, every single podcast has an explicit content because I do not watch my language, so just be forewarned, anybody out there. Those two things really are where I would – that's karmic cash for me right there. You know, people connecting with my little sphere of the internet, and that's just a blast. I love to get to know people, learn about what hit home the most for them. And that's it. I mean, you can certainly find if you're interested in the retreat, that will be launching very, very soon. So, you can sign up at thejoyjunkie.com/retreat just to be on the VIP list. But other than that, I just want to get to know you, I think.
There you go. Love it. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Mine is a concept. And I want everybody out there, if you've been listening to us and you've been like, oh, shit, I could never say that to my husband, or I could never tell my mom that, or I could never say something like that to my best friend, I want you to entertain a different idea of your intrinsic value, okay? I want you to think about this mantra throughout your week. You are responsible for your intention, not your reception. We get so convoluted thinking that we have to control how everyone sees us, experiences us, and we don't look at who am I being? Am I proud of who I am? Am I proud of how I delivered that information? Do I like Amy as I've gone through my day in and day out life? That is the difference between being connected to your intention versus your reception. The problem with being so acutely connected to your reception is that it is a crazy variable. It is all over the place. So I could express an opinion. Let's say I did a political podcast at the time of the election, and it was received all over the place. Some people were like, thank God. Oh my gosh, I so appreciated that. Some people were like, you lost a follower, blah, blah, blah. And then other people were indifferent and didn't care at all. And so I kind of went, okay, the reception is all across the board. I need to check in with Amy and go, am I proud of the woman that I was? Am I happy of how I conveyed myself? And that becomes the new barometer of success. So that now my worthiness is not contingent on if other people accept me or not. If they do, that's awesome. It feels good. It's like a gift, right? And conversely, if people don't approve of me, that might feel shitty. It might hurt. But it also does not mean that I'm not valuable. So I would love for everybody to just entertain the idea of what you are actually responsible for. We cannot make anyone feel something that they don't want to feel. We can't force that on anybody. So start looking at how am I showing up? What is my intention? And how can I let go of the reception?
I love that. Holy crap, I'm sitting here taking notes.
Nice.
So you gotta say that first part one more time. That your reception, or your, let me write that down. Okay, what was it again? That quote?
You are responsible for your intention, not your reception.
Boom. Oh my gosh. Huge.
Yes.
Love it. So, Amy, this has been amazing. It's amazing to get to know you and dive into what you're doing and the brilliance that you are bringing to the world. I think that you bring something of yourself that is so needed that people just don't want to talk about. You know, they have these family issues. They have these family problems between in-laws or within their own family, an uncle or a brother or somebody's not getting along with somebody. And it's all just, oh, we dread the holidays. But you bring a funniness to it. You bring a humor to it. But you also bring in the content that's needed for them to get past whatever they're dealing with. So I want to thank you for sharing your brilliance with us today.
Oh, you are most welcome. It was such an honor to hang out. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, connect with Amy, Instagram, The Joy Junkie, thejoyjunkie.com. Go grab her free e-workbook, Stand Up for Yourself Without Being a Dick. Amy, is there any last words that you want to give the Life Transformation Radio listeners?
I don't think so.
You covered it all. That's pretty good.
I was trying to pull something out, but I'm like, ah,
right?
I got nothing.
Nothing. That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, I want to thank you again for sharing your time with us. It has been an absolute honor and a privilege to have you on my show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
The Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you, please join us live 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play Music app. Subscribe to the show and please rate and review the show. You can connect with Amy at all of those links. You can connect with me at my website, www.thesuccesscorps.com. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you have deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.